This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May of 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
For years, I just dreaded going to the dentist. But at Advanced Dentistry, I don't have to.
First and foremost, they want you to feel comfortable when you walk in. Like, you'll feel it. Whereas in the past, I might have gone into the dentist and thinking, I might feel some pain at some point. But with IV sedation, it can be something that you don't dread.
If you've been avoiding the dentist because of fear, worry, or just not wanting to be judged, you're not alone. Visit NoFearDentist.com to learn how IV sedation can change your life.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast on the left.
Right from your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
It's been a long time.
I hate Christmas. I hate Christmas.
I love this.
I hate Christmas with you. Every day I hate some Christmas.
I would like Christmas music if it sounded like that. I would love it. All right.
I have been alone in a Regency Suites hotel in Atlanta, right? And so I sit.
Oh my God.
I go down every morning before the breakfast is served.
Continental.
Continental breakfast from 7 to 10 in the morning. I go down, I get my Raisin Bran, and I get 2 hard-boiled eggs. Every morning. Every day I'm going down there. It's fucking miserable. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm eating my Raisin Bran. They're just pumping the, like, we wish you a Merry Christmas. You a Merry Christmas. There's one old man that was sitting down there because the whole hotel is empty because no other human being would be staying in a Regency Suites hotel the week before fucking Christmas,
right,
besides
right.
a bunch of people dressed as Satan all day. And
yeah,
so
maybe John Candy's character in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, the guy who's selling the shower curtain.
But there's just an old man sitting at a table just playing with this cup.
Oh.
Just like passing this cup back and forth like it's a fucking cat toy.
Like his child. Like the child he never had.
I was just like, God damn. And I get up and then I go, I fucking drive to work and then get spray paint shot up my nose. While someone's just being like, the whole world's falling apart.
Yeah, you still got a lot of red paint on you right now from your pretty face character.
It's all in my knuckles and shit. And so it's and it also, I think it's coming out of my pores because I wore a white shirt yesterday and my armpits were all red. So that's healthy.
All right, welcome to the show, everyone. Obviously, it's Christmas time and everyone's like, oh, a wonderful.
Fuck you!
Santa Claus is going to break into our house and steal all of our cookies and maybe leave us a load of crap.
I absolutely hate Christmas.
I am so with you, and I don't want to be a bah humbug guy.
Hate it.
But I just don't like the holiday that much.
Number one.
Marcus, you love it. I can tell. Look at your smile.
Look at his smile. He's got a twinkle in his eye. He's got holly coming out of the top of his pants like a bunch of shitty pubic hair.
I love Christmas. It's a jolly holly time of year.
I'm going to put mistletoe right above the toilet and really confuse all my guests when they go to the bathroom. And I'll have my kiss now. Yes. Oh, you missed the mistletoe.
But I will say, so yes, Christmas is a celebration of our Dark Lord and Savior's fucking ultimate enemy,
mm-hmm.
right? The stinky desert wizard known as Jesus Christ.
Right.
But I'd like to say that I think that Satan has begun a long game of trying to get Christmas, and I think we got it now.
Yeah. You think there was a war on Christmas and Satan's winning?
There's been no war on Christmas.
Oh, okay.
There's been a slow absorption of Christmas
by our
satanic master. And, I mean, because who gives a shit about Jesus Christ? Nobody. It's his presents. It's what am I getting? Right? That's all Christmas is. It brings out the worst in everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It makes everyone a snarling fucking beast.
Oh, that's right. I mean, Jesus Christ was like Russell Brand. He was born into royalty. They were giving him gifts as soon as he got out of the pussy. The guy didn't do anything to deserve him. Frankincense, myrrh, and whatever the hell.
As he showed up.
Yeah, as soon as he showed up.
His mom slept with some dirt guy out behind a stable, some horse ranger, and she comes back and Joseph's like, "What are you pregnant, Mari?" And she's just like, God did it.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Yeah, absolutely. So today we're covering Christmas monsters.
But the true story of Christmas, the untold story.
And if you're a Christmas traditionalist, this is going to shake some of your tradition. This is going to shake the bedrock of everything you've loved about Christmas. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It's the dark side of Santa Claus today. And I got this first part of the episode. I got all of this information from www.av1611.org.
Mm.
So
it's an organization. I would love to go to their headquarters.
What is that? Is that just like a random number generator turned into a URL?
I think so.
Yep, this is from their pamphlet about Santa Claus.
Oh, where they
It's a digital pamphlet? They did publish it. They did publish it and hand it out and sell it in various Christian bookstores.
Gregory, we're just not getting the eyeballs on this that need to see it. Santa Claus is a pervert. We got to stop him. You know what I'm doing? I'm making a .org website.
Get it done.
So miraculous folklore and legends surround the mystery of St. Nicholas. And St. Nicholas has been around long before the quote-unquote Santa Claus character that we worship today. One of the earliest popular legends of St. Nicholas is the rescue of three poverty-stricken girls destined for prostitution.
So he was like Liam Neeson from Taken?
Is that right? Yeah, it sounds like he's a pimp here as well.
See, these girls were poor, didn't have the dowry for marriage, so St. Nicholas saved them from a life of shame by providing the marriage dowries of gold, and they were then able to get properly married.
Oh, so then they can get legally sold.
That's great.
To men. That's great. Mm-hmm, that's great. Nice. I thought it was him like, I've got a certain set of skills that allow me to handle men like you. And it's just Santa Claus with a fucking silence gun.
That'd be great.
Just going through, pew, 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 pew.
Another man.
Discriminate with extreme prejudice.
I like that, Santa.
That's
my favorite Santa so far.
Another amazing miracle in the early life of St. Nicholas is the three young boys who were sadistically murdered by a wicked innkeeper who is named Pierre Foutard, whose name loosely translates to Father Whipper.
Who also works at the Ramrod Club downtown.
I love going to the Ramrod Club, and you get all your kinks out. You know, stressful week, go right down to the Ramrod. They'll step all over your balls.
I don't know how many times. I've been on a pack train all day. Mm. I have, you know, I'm working on my office job, and, you know, sweating. It's hard out there.
I don't know if you should be sweating at your desk job.
I'm just saying.
You're like, maybe you have a health problem.
It's a lot of pressure. Okay. I've been eating a lot of salt just to cope with what I'm dealing with.
Right.
And nothing I like better than a Friday night is going on a club Ramrod and just get my balls hurt. By Father Whipper. And he's like, Atilihee, Atiliho, I smack your balls with a fly.
Oh my God.
Swap.
Oh, I think I feel another fly on there. Better swap it again.
So the boys who were murdered by Father Whipper, their bodies were chopped up and preserved in pickle barrels with a cannibalistic intent of feeding their flesh to unsuspecting house guests.
Cool.
But the amazing St. Nicholas resurrected the boys and their mutilated bodies, and Pierre has been Santa's dark side in France ever since.
Now, he resurrected a bunch of pickled kids?
Yeah,
chopped
they just
pickled
came
kids.
Back.
Why are we alive?
Yeah. Well, that's the closest thing to a merman I've ever seen.
Please send us back. I went to heaven, Santa, because I was good. Please send me back.
Save them before the pickling. That's all I'm saying.
So St. Nicholas, wonderful Christian figure. He was a bishop at one point. This is a man who would help poor children. He would help girls.
He's a pedophile.
He would help girls from becoming prostitutes. He would help murdered children. But Santa Claus is, in fact, St. Nicholas's dark helper, who over the years has transformed Ooh. Into the jolly man that we know today. Let's go into the transformation.
And that's why we should begin a mass. Every man who begins to say he's a representative of Santa Claus, whether it be at a mall, whether it be at the bus station, and he's got a fucking fake beard on, he tells you he's Santa Claus. These men need to be dragged out in the street and beaten with tennis rackets.
Yeah, but maybe they're just trying to get a job so they can support their liquor habit at the mall.
No.
The mall Santa?
No.
Okay.
No.
Beat him with tennis rackets.
Messengers of Black Pete.
Black Pete.
You'll see.
Yes. In certain German children's games, the St. Nicholas figure itself is the dark helper, a devil who wants to punish children but is stopped from doing so by Christ.
Also like Liam Neeson from Taken.
Yeah.
And they all want to be him. Liam Neeson is just going to play. He's got to play Jesus Christ as Santa Claus as his character from Taken in a film very soon.
A Christmas Story. They mentioned Black Pete, right? That's who Ralphie was trying to shoot with his BB gun.
That was Black Bart.
Yeah, Black Bart.
Yeah, okay.
Black Bart.
Yeah, Black Pete was the janitor at his elementary school.
Oh, yeah, I remember him. White guy, right?
Although they didn't call him Black. That was a much more offensive name that they called the janitor. It was the 50s.
Yeah. Janitor's offensive enough.
So Black Pete, he is the grandfather of our modern Santa Claus. Mm. He's known in Holland as Zwarte Pieter, and this 18th century version is, like his ancient shamanistic ancestor, horned, fur-clad, terrifying, and less than kind to children. And if you're bad, he'll take you away to Spain.
I've been bad. Take me to Spain, Black Pete.
To Spain.
Spain? That's what you mean, topless?
I'll take and a dump on every table I see. If that means I get to go to Spain.
Hanging out in the cocktail bars of Sardinia?
Good God. You mean you're going to take me out of rural Iowa to go to Spain because I've been bad? I think I'll hit my mom again.
So although he's portrayed as the slave helper of St. Nicholas, the two are in many villages blended into one character. And this figure often has the name
Nicholas
or Klaus, but he still has the swarthy appearance of the Dark Helper.
I just want to also keep saying the term swarthy the Dark Helper and Black Pete. There is some racist overtones to this character.
Well, I don't know, because this character was, this character has been around long before these people, even these Europeans ever encountered a single black person.
Politically correct, Henry Zebrowski. Let's not use that character too much.
So Black Pete, like Santa, he has a coat of hair, a disheveled beard, a bag, and ashes on his face, which is why he was called Black Pete. For it was not St. Nicholas who originally came down the chimney. It was Black Peter who was called the Dark One, because he was normally covered in soot and ashes from the chimney travels.
Because he was his Santa. I mean, again, he's Santa's slave, right? Who's chained to the thing. He's sent out. He's forced to give the presents to the children, right? That's the idea.
Santa ate himself out of the chimney duty because he didn't want to do it anymore. Yep.
So on the eve of December 6th, the myth said that the bearded, white-haired old saint, quote-unquote saint, clad in a wide mantle, rode through the skies on a white horse with his slave, the swarthy Dark Helper.
Yeah, who was on the slave sleigh, which was just sort of like a swing that was attached to the bottom of the sleigh, just like swinging through the sky.
I want to see some.
I love riding with Santa Claus.
It seems like it could be pretty erotic. Santa's got his shirt blowing in the wind. They're on the white horse. The black slave is grabbing him from behind.
Up here to Black Pete, my swarthy young helper. Come and sit on Santa's lap.
That's hot.
Santa, his lap is cold.
Any instances of homosexuality there? Any gay instance, do you think?
Any gay set between Black Pete and
Let's
Santa?
Let's just say The pieces are there.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, you might as well ask, did Andrew Jackson have sex with his slaves? We all know he did.
He did.
I didn't know. Sure.
I wasn't sure where we were going with that.
So this reluctant helper...
Put this dress on. I got it for Sally Anderson in Ohio. But instead, I'm giving it to you, Black Pete. Oh, sweet Black Pete. You've got quite the danglies today. Reminds me of the bells on my reindeer.
So while Black Pete was forced to give gifts to good people, he much preferred to threaten them with his broom-like scourge.
What is a scourge?
A scourge is
it's a whippity weapon.
It's a whip with little metal balls at the end,
like a cat of nine tails.
It's like a cat of nine tails. Yeah,
cool. Yeah, good.
And at the sign of his master, he would gleefully drag sinners away to a place of eternal suffering.
Ooh, exciting!
Ooh. Yeah.
So this was hell,
Cleveland.
Ah, yes.
Now, instead of taking you to Spain,
you go to Cleveland.
Yeah.
So now that we've talked about Santa's first, we're going to be getting a lot of Dark Helpers later on. But let's get to Santa himself and the occult origins of Santa and how Santa relates to Satan.
This was true.
Yeah.
This would be so much better. What a better story for
Christmas.
Who's
to say it's not, Henry?
I know.
So, that's a good point.
So first, let's examine Santa's trademark, ho, ho, ho. Now, most people don't know exactly.
Because it was definitely softened from the original whore, whore, whore.
Whore, whore. Yeah, yeah. He was just walking around the mean streets.
Whore, where's the whores?
Yeah, that's just
I'm in from out of town, and I'm looking for some straight-up whores. I want to sleep with an old bearded man.
Well, don't kill him. One day he's going to be Santa Claus.
So most people don't know. Where did the ho, ho, ho come from? Is this just a jolly exclamation? Is this just something that fat guys say upon entering rooms?
Yes and yes.
Hey, how do you think we get into elevators?
Yeah.
Ho, 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 ho.
Well, that's actually what they said. Ho, ho, hi. We'll leave. We'll just leave. You guys can have the elevator.
We need two of these elevators, huh?
Well, I agree.
Oh, no. It is something that someone says upon entrance. Ooh. But it is not fat men. It is the devil. For in pre-Shakespearean plays, they had these two characters in most of these plays. There were morality plays. There would be the devil and vice. And the devil's ordinary exclamation upon entering the play would be, "Ho, ho, ho, what a fellow I am."
Was he like a Yoda type, or what happened to him?
He, and that was known as the devil's bluster.
Oh.
Exciting.
And of course,
I'm gonna start doing this more often.
God, how bad was the pre-Shakespearean plays?
Rough.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Shakespeare itself kind
of
sucks.
It was, old plays were back in the day where to just distract you from the fact that you died at the age of 38, and if you were 13, you were pregnant.
Right. If you were lucky, yeah.
So plenty of people have pointed out the fact that Santa is a very easy anagram for Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, it's a very easy anagram. It's funny. Ha, ha, ha. But it does have some meaning.
Well, because it's very true, because what we're going to learn right now is that the idea of hidden words are very powerful in magical studies.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. This guy, H.P. Blavatsky, who's a
Blavatsky?
Blavatsky! Blavatsky, get in here! The sausages are late!
Can't believe he quit the family carpet business to research Santa and call him Satan.
He's a Satanist and a New Age teacher. He wrote in a book called The Secret Doctrine, he said, "The name isn't important. It's the letters."
I don't know what I gotta do to get kids in the seats. You know, I'm a New Age Satanist teacher.
I just don't know how to get them. I don't know how to put butts in the seats. And I was trying to do some of that Peter Frampton mouth guitar, but I gotta tell you, the buzz is uncomfortable.
Oh, terrible, terrible! It just made me want string cheese.
Meow, meow.
Meow. I do. Other New Agers have also used anagrams for Satan, such as Sanat Kumara, in order to trick people into worshiping the devil. And as for the clause in Santa Claus, clause is an anagram for Lucas, which is a modern New Age name for Lucifer.
Cool. Huh. Satan Lucas.
It seems like another modern New Age name seems to mean that they just made that up.
Yeah,
they just said that. Right?
Yep.
But Gail, but please, sir, listen to the words of Gail Ripplinger.
Of course.
In her book, New Age Versions, here's what she says about the use of anagrams in the occult world. Henry, what do you think Gail sounds like?
Okay. Lucifer's now. Everybody, please. Please disregard the sound of my voice.
I'll have to.
And please listen to the important information I have to say. Lucifer's true identity as Satan is revealed as the anagram, a transposition of letters. That's what that means.
Oh, and she's just got the nicest closeted gay southern husband.
Absolutely. This is my husband, Dale. Where names rhyme.
Well, that's why I love her so much.
Don't forget to tell him about the blind, sweetheart.
Oh, yeah, you rhymed, Dale. To obscure the true nature of a name, you use blinds, as esoterics call them, including the scrambling letters of a name to hide the true meaning of a word from the uninitiated.
I love it. I want some lemonade right now. I don't know why.
No, and so that is actually very true, which is where the idea of secret schools started back in the day, where it's like, you know, what they said, where Jesus was a wizard of the Bethlehem, or that whole group, or the what's it, the where is he born? He was born in
Bethlehem.
Nazareth. The Nazarenes.
Nazarenes
were in the Bethlehems. That whole group were a bunch of secret schools, and the idea is that they used riddles and anagrams and stars to either teach people like folklore about the seasons or when the reptilians are coming back.
Yeah, they were just making it up. They just didn't know what else to say.
Here's another interesting thing. You know, we all call him Saint Nick, Old Nick, things like that. Old Nick is an old English term for Satan.
They'd
call him Nick. They'd call him Scratch. There was a lot
of Pepper Pot.
Scratch.
They call him Dingley Dangle. Right. They call him Mike.
Was Charles Manson naming all these people?
Oh, Scratch, get on over here.
is my buddy. His name is Snickety Snack.
Oh, it's so nice to have Charles with us. Charles, what are your plans for Christmas?
Well, the first thing I plan to do is dig a nice hole in the dirt. I'm going to take a dump in it.
Well, that's sort of a gift that keeps on giving there.
I call it a foolish stocking. Yeah, I got spiders on my feet.
Well,
but you know what? I'm okay with the spiders. It's Christmas. You gotta open your heart.
Well, it's better than a stocking full of coal. A hole full of your dookie.
So scholars, they mostly, biblical scholars, they concur that Christ was actually born in the fall on the fourth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. December 25th is actually the feast in honor of the birth of the son of the Babylonian queen of heaven, later called Saturnalia by the heathen Romans.
Saturnalia?
Saturnalia.
She had a mole.
Yeah, Saturnalia. It sounds like an erotic festival
or an oil.
Yeah,
something you put all over your Brussels sprouts to make.
But again,
taste
but
okay.
We knew all this. They blumped all the holidays together so that people would still have days off from their fucking sheep herder job.
Yeah, so they could
You don't take a day off sheep herding, buddy.
Well, you know what?
I know. It's a lifestyle.
We'll actually talk later about what happens in Iceland if you take a day off from sheep herding. Ooh. It is terrifying.
Yeah.
Again, when we'll go into Christmas in Europe is scary.
Oh, everything in Europe is terrifying.
It is also worth noting that Santa is Spanish for holy.
Sure.
Santa is also from the Latin word sanctus, which means also saintly.
Marcus,
or holy.
You're taking us down a pipe here. What? How does this go?
Our English word sanctify comes from the Spanish word Santa. Sounds like Satan's claim in the Bible of "I will be like the Most High" plan is in action. In other words, Holy Claus, aka Holy Lucas, aka
Holy Lucifer. It's about worshiping Satan. Thank God. I feel better now. I'm going to go put up Christmas decorations now.
And Claus also sounds like Claus with
a
W. Maybe Santa Claus means Satan's claws, like a lion's claws.
That's not true.
For let us read from the Bible. We shall read from 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary is the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door
maybe
into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way,
chimney,
the same is a thief and a robber.
Well,
that seals it.
Yeah, that does it. So they just
2,000-year-old logic does it again.
Yeah, and I've got more for you, man.
Please,
I'm
more.
Not done.
Yeah.
I'm not done.
Good.
Most people were unaware that until the 19th century, Santa flew through the sky not in a sled drawn by reindeers, but on a white horse.
That's right.
And it wasn't until 1821 that the magical white horse.
And I gotta tell you, that horse was fucking terrified.
Terrified. Terrified. It is no wings, not supposed to be flying.
And then on the eve of December 6th, as I mentioned earlier, the myth said the bearded, white-haired old saint,
quote-unquote,
Clyde in a mantle, rode through the skies on a white horse. You know, there's another character who travels on a white horse.
Who? Johnny Cash.
Is that right? Johnny Cash? Is that who it is?
The Antichrist.
Antichrist.
Let us read from Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer.
But little know that modern biblical scholars have now discovered that they were talking about Bruno Mars.
Oh, I love Bruno Mars. So a bow, like a bow tie. Or like a bow, like a weapon?
Like a weapon.
So Santa's just rolling around on a horse with a stick coming to your house, and that's why you got to feed him. He'll kill you. he'll kill your entire family. That's
Believe
terrifying.
Me, I've been traveling all the world. I also get hangry.
Yeah.
I don't get them fucking cookies when I'm expecting them, I'm going upstairs. I'm going to start sucking your kids' dicks.
Well,
if I'm Santa Claus.
That's not what you should do if you're hungry. There's other options out there.
Well, we talked a little bit about Black Pete earlier, one of Santa's dark helpers. Let's get to what is possibly Santa's most infamous dark helper, Krampus.
Now, I will say, your pretty face going to hell, a little bit of a spoiler. We have done a Christmas episode that features a Krampus, and it is a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
We had a very good time.
Krampus.
Krampus is a half goat, half demon beast who literally beats people into being nice and not naughty.
I think that's spare the rod.
I agree. You spoil the child, and that's why all these kids are out there listening to their iTunes.
They're on their hip-hop, and they're playing their gem games.
Yeah,
can't be farmer. You tell me you want me to be a farmer on Facebook. You need to be a farmer in Idaho.
That's what I say. We're running out of farmers. Meanwhile, you're tagging me in posts about how there's your cow is sick. I say, feed the goddamn
thing. Feed down the goddamn cow. Get a job and make money and get that grain.
I'm very upset with the youth. Very upset with what's happening. Farmville. I remember when I was a kid farming.
There were farms around.
Yeah. Working so hard.
Yeah, farming all the meat Burger from the King. Arby's refrigerator over to the gel slicer.
Slicing it up. Just getting all sweaty. Sometimes I would bleed in it.
The Krampus goes by many names. My favorite is Gumpfnickel.
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 God, I would pay a nickel for it.
For
a Gumpfnickel. I feel like you go into the store in the 1930s, like, I'll have four Gumpfnickels.
And he just tugs on your balls four times.
You give him 20 cents.
There you go, young man.
That's great. Well, I don't know how I'm cured, but I feel my polio going away now.
So Krampus is usually seen as a classic devil with horns, cloven hooves, a monstrous red tongue, but he can also be spotted as a sinister gentleman dressed in black or a hairy man beast.
There's a lot of things there.
There's a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of stuff. Yeah. It's a wide berth as far as what Krampus is all about. He punishes the naughty children, swatting them with bundles of twigs.
Rootin' bundles.
Mm. And he also uses rusty chains, which sometimes have bells attached, and he would swat the children before dragging them away in baskets to either a fiery place down below, into the black forests of Germany, or to the nearby body of water for a quick drowning.
And in some legends, he has a drowning tub that he also drags with him, that clingety clangs in the night.
That story back in the 1800s was followed by a blowout of the candle. Good night, Tom.
Yeah.
And good night, little Tommy.
Oh, good. Bill, I have to wake up in 3 hours so I could get back to milking.
Yes, Tommy.
Yes.
You get drugged by the crazy Santa Claus man, Krampus fella.
So here's
the fiery pits.
Here's the origins of Krampus. His name is derived from the German word
Krampen.
Krampen. Which means claw, and he's said to be the son of Hel in Norse mythology.
Cool.
And in Norse mythology, Hel is the ruler of Helheim, the realm of the dead.
Which is when I imagine what it looks like is like the cover of a metal album. You know what I mean? It's just like long bearded hair and like columns, and she's, you know, there's some dude with his dick out and a huge like four fucking fretted guitar with the four fucking tops to it.
Dio's, I don't know, guitars. Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, that works. Hel is the youngest child of the evil god Loki in the giantess Angboda, and she's usually described as a horrible hag, half alive and half dead, with a gloomy and grim expression.
You talking about my ex-girlfriend?
I love that joke.
This is Krampus's mother, by the way. Her face and body are those of a living woman, but her thighs and legs are those of a corpse, mottled and moldering.
That's pretty hot. She's kind of, how does she move?
Mottled and moldering.
Oh, yikes. Her boobs are hot, but her pussy's cold. Yeah, I'm all dead down there. They're just describing every housewife in Nebraska. I'm all dead down there. I can't wait for my wife to tell me that.
Leave it alone. You might as well. Hey, you got there, Ben. You want to take a stab at my old pouch there? You're going to be having sex with a corpse there. The cops are going to take you.
I didn't know you were
beautiful woman.
Well, I still love her. I'll get some more mashed potatoes for you.
So the gods abducted Hel and her brothers from Angerboda's hall. They cast her into the underworld, into which she distributes those who are sent to her, the wicked, and those who die of sickness or old age. Her hall is Helheim, and it's called Eljudner, home of the dead.
You've got good pronunciation guide, right? From Ragnar.
Oh no, that's all Icelandic stuff. This is just me talking out of my ass.
Okay, cool. I'm gonna say again, we are doing our best to get better at the pronunciation.
Seriously, we're trying.
Get off of our cocks. All right, we know. We are ignorant.
Yes. We know. I'm not a fucking college professor, you pieces of shit.
I think
I'm a podcast host.
You nail it. You've never mispronounced a word in your life, Marcus. You nail it.
As far as I'm concerned, it's not about the sound of it. It's the meaning behind it.
That's
exactly
right.
And so her maidservant is Ganglot, and she has a manservant named Ginglöti, and both of those can be translated into tardy.
Now, does that mean like retardy?
No.
They are like, oh, what are we gonna do? What's going on here? Why you got sticky legs?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Why you got sticky legs there?
You got stinky legs?
Yes, mama's got stinky legs.
Oh,
yes.
Well, I'm all dead down there.
Thank you, Gangladi. Wow.
I'm just glad you're alive enough to be our mom.
Well, that's really actually kind of sweet. It almost warmed my vagina.
So that's Krampus's mother. Now let's get back to those bundle of sticks that we talked about earlier.
Yeah, let's. Oh, can we talk more about bundles of sticks? I love this part of the podcast.
Those may have a connection with the initiation rites of certain witch covens, for rites which entailed binding and scourging as a form of mock death. And the chains could have been introduced in a Christian attempt to bind the devil. But again, those could also be a remnant of pagan initiation.
I'm just going to be really happy when every single bundle of sticks in America can get married.
Yep, that's going to... Bundles of sticks deserve love, too. I agree with you.
So according to folklore, and this date shows up again and again, December 6th, Krampus shows up in towns on December 6th is known as
Krampusnacht.
Krampusnacht.
Ooh, that's not good.
That means Krampus night.
It's a cool fucking name for a holiday, though. If there's ever a holiday, Krampusnacht, it just, again, it just sounds like a...
Yeah, that's true.
Krampusnacht. It's Krampusnacht. Get your presents ready because it's Krampusnacht.
Yeah, I'd bang my head a little bit to that. I'll tell you that much right now. What?
December 6th also happens to be Nikolaustag. Or St. Nicholas's Day, German children look outside their door to see if the shoe or boot they left outside the night before contains either presents, a reward for good behavior, or a rod, or a bundle of twigs,
now,
or
the
bad
thing is,
human
this,
shit.
This
maybe?
Was all back in the day where it's like, and it wasn't like a fucking PlayStation 4.
No.
It was like a shovel so you can help with the rock farm with your family, or it was like one of the wooden horses that you just stared at.
Well, you know for a fact you're not getting new shoes, because that's like an impossible thing to fit in there.
And in other versions, Krampus is an incubus who accompanies Santa Claus on the night of Christmas. That's much crazier.
Yeah, so when he goes in there, he's just like...
He just
sex with the dad and like and flirting with the kids.
I think it's the children.
Yeah,
I think
just going like, do you think I'm sexy? Come on, children, let me know.
I'm not sure if Rod Stewart was around yet.
If you want my body, come out and touch me.
Krampus moves through space and time, Ben.
Oh, I see. I didn't realize the truth behind that last sentence.
And so as far as people co-opting Krampus, young people in the mid-19th century used to dress as the devil and stand along with others dressed as St. Nicholas in the marketplace, waiting to be hired to come to homes and visit children to scare them.
God damn it, Becky, it's so difficult having this child scare business. There's no good Krampuses around. I haven't found a good Krampus in 3 years, these lazy hipster pieces of shit.
I think she's being bad. Do you want to go into town and get a Krampus for us?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Sounds like something that's glazed. I would eat it.
In Europe, he began to gain popularity outside of the remote, isolated Alpine areas where he originated, due in part to the popularity of Christmas cards portraying him in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Krampus is often featured looming menacingly over children. He's also shown as having one human foot and one cloven hoof, and in some, Krampus has sexual overtones, for he is pictured pursuing buxom women.
Now, this is the Krampus that I view as being played by Rodney Dangerfield. Field.
Right.
You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Pink pants on.
Yeah, polka dot shirts.
Give me some of them. I just can't get any respect.
You're grabbing boobies everywhere.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah, if you go back and watch those Dangerfield movies, he didn't get a lot of respect because technically he's a felon, which is kind of interesting. But Hallmark doesn't make that card anymore, though. No. I want to see a good Krampus card come back from Hallmark.
I'd love to see one.
Just like one that says, Merry Christmas, you got the tits a Krampus would love.
Oh, yeah. And what a gift they are for me.
So Krampus's frightening presence was suppressed for many years. The Catholic Church, for example, forbade the raucous celebrations, and fascist World War II Europe found Krampus despicable because it was considered a creation of the Social Democrats.
Come on!
So the Nazis did take offense to one
Krampus.
Thing. Krampus. Krampus. Out of all the things that they could have been like, maybe we should not genocide.
Well, okay, listen, everybody. First point of the meeting is, if we're getting the Jew children's shoes, I want the good ones. The shitty ones, we burn.
burn.
Right.
Second one is we got to get rid of this Krampus piece of shit because it's making us look bad.
Great. The Holocaust making us look great, you know?
And in the 50s, after World War II, in Austria, home of Hitler, the government distributed pamphlets that
but
were...
But also Arnold Schwarzenegger.
What else think about
Schwarzenegger.
It? The government distributed pamphlets that were simply titled, Krampus is an evil man.
Sure.
All right. But maybe he's not real at all.
I think the way you do it is the government, the way you got to do opposite psychology. I mean, the government thinks that Krampus is a cool fucking dude.
Yeah,
and you
right.
have them co-op Santa Claus Krampus, put sunglasses on him and a skateboard and be mm-hmm. like, Krampus wants you to have a good Krampus knock, and no one will like it anymore.
Not exactly. one bit.
So a more modern take on the tradition in Austria, Germany, Hungary, Slovenia, and the Czech Republic involves drunken men dressed as devils who take over the streets for a Krampuslauf, mm-hmm. which means a Krampus run, when people, particularly young women, are chased through the street by the devils.
Ah, so it's a rape parade.
Yeah, I was going to actually make a joke about rape night and stuff like that, but that's really what it is. Huh?
You know what I'll say yeah. is that that's that, and people don't like SantaCon.
Yeah,
right.
You know what I mean?
They wonder
is,
why.
Oh, boy, this is a fucked up version of Santa Claus.
I will say in Atlanta, there is a Krampus crawl that they do where people dress up as Krampus and stuff, and they go yeah. from bar to bar in a big pub crawl, and it's fucking great.
I can
because
imagine.
It's not rapey. It's I mean, it's a little rapey, but everybody's into
How
it.
How is it rapey?
No, it's just women are, like, wearing no clothes.
Oh, that's great.
And, like, Krampus horns. And, the men, and like, all of the guys who do the puppets for Pretty Face were dressed in these, like, 9-foot-tall... Krampus
wow.
uniforms. He's huge.
Nice.
He was awesome.
That's amazing. So one American did go to one of these Krampuslauf celebrations over in Germany, and this is what they will say. They said about the Krampus celebrations. Krampus will hit you.
That sounds
there,
fun.
Oh, there are dozens of men dressed as Krampus. He will hit you, but he aims for the legs
oh,
and
yeah.
it only stings for a moment.
And you get the rootin' bundles at like Michael's. They're
yeah.
not hard. They're not
no,
right.
No, no, no. And while the majority of Krampusse? That's Krampusse. That is the plural of Krampus, the Krampusse.
Mm-hmm.
They seemed content to harass the crowd on foot, while some rode in large carts or vehicle, shooting flames or bellowing smoke.
That's awesome.
They were particularly yeah. brutal to anyone who taunted them or tried to retaliate.
Yeah, I bet.
Mm-hmm. A particularly large and frightening Krampus chased down an offending teenager, threw him to the ground, and sat on his chest, and the boy looked terrified and near tears.
That's yeah, of course. That's
I love
hilarious.
It. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize they were taking down the youth.
Yeah.
I'm pro Krampus.
Yeah. And the narrow streets in the old city section of Salzburg were packed with pedestrians as the Krampusse stomped through. Many people were caught unaware and reacted with terror. Some would flee and try to seek refuge in a shop or restaurant, only to be pursued by a determined Krampus.
Just a huge fucking drunk-ass German dude. Just going like, oh, where are the children? That is scary. That is terrifying.
I might stay in house. I might stay inside that day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or be a Krampus. You only got two options.
Yeah.
I just
You're
wonder,
a victim or a Krampus.
Howie, I wonder if your grandfather celebrated it at the camps just to make it extra scary for
well,
them.
I don't know if they needed to make it any scarier. But it took a while to get to it, though.
They found ways.
Yeah. It's kind of fun.
Waited till the end. He waited till the end.
He
did. I just
yeah,
did one.
Yeah. Yeah, you just did one. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sure
we've mentioned Germany a number of times already.
Mm, yeah.
Think
yeah.
about
yeah.
that. So, yeah.
Well, let's go from Germany over to I would definitely say my favorite Christmas, Icelandic Christmas.
Now, Ooh. Again, it is very difficult to have a Merry Christmas
yes.
as an Iceland. I don't know, because they seem like very like beautiful, fun-loving people.
They are.
Gorgeous
but this
women,
shit's
yeah.
rough.
Yeah. Yeah, this is real rough.
Dude, there's a dark underbelly to the Icelandic culture, huh?
Oh, they yeah. get Christmas. They right. get that Christmas is a mournful, shitty holiday.
Yeah. Right.
They know
yeah.
that Christmas just, it's the worst. It, yeah. It's die.
And I went to a friend Ragnar, who is from Reykjavik. I went to him for correct pronunciations on these. We're going to start off with Jólakötturinn. That is... Is the Yule Cat?
I am the Yule Cat. Ring, ding, 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 ding.
I love
oh,
the Yule
so scary
Cat.
I am.
Well, the oldest written sources on the Yule Cat are from the 19th century, and these refer to the fact that those who do not get a new item of clothing for Yule are destined to become sacrificial offerings for the Yule Cat and
cool.
eaten.
So you got to get new clothes, otherwise you get eaten.
Yes.
Ooh.
Ooh,
well,
yeah. You got to be a regular Lady Gaga over there
oh
with your new clothes.
Oh, my God. Neat yeah. dress.
This is from Ragnar. He said, If you don't get clean clothes and a bath for Christmas or are naughty, then the cat eats you. Still said to kids today, quote, we got to get you new clothes. We wouldn't want you to end up inside the Ulukutherin.
Oh, that's great.
In 2014, they still say this to children. It's amazing.
The bath thing, though. Aren't they bathing on a daily basis?
I don't know.
Once a year?
It's hard because the problem is that you got to drag the big tin fucking bucket out into the town square where one pump, and then you got to go and take that over to the coal area and get it good and bubbling.
Right.
And you got to wait for it to stop being literally boiling before you can get inside before the mayor comes and washes you.
Oh, yeah. Town soup. Yeah.
So this tradition is based on the fact that every effort was made to finish all of the work with the autumn wool before Yule, and the reward for those who took part in the work was a new piece of clothing, while those who were lazy received nothing. So the Yule cat was used to inspire the peasants into working harder for their sheep masters.
The Yule cat's like, fashion, please. That's yesterday's shirt. That's yesterday's look. I'm going to eat you now.
I mean, meow, meow, meow.
Okay.
And now we get to, I love these
this
guys.
This is fantastic. I would also put this, it's like, if you, as a listener last podcast, I want to start calling our listeners Yule Lads.
Oh,
these are the Yule Lads.
Yeah. Yep, the Yule Lads, known in their native tongue as Yola Swener.
Oh.
Yep. They are often accompany the Yule Cat. Ragnar described them as, quote, petty thieves and criminals led by a useless wreck of a father and a horrible ogress for a mother.
Yeah, so basically, it's like Newsies.
Yeah.
It's just like a bunch of like whip snapping, fucking snapping, flipping a coin like weird petty criminals that are around a giant cat that hates your old clothes.
Seems just like that sitcom Roseanne. It's kind of fun. That's not too bad.
So the Jólasveinar, they're Icelandic trolls who put rewards or punishment into shoes placed by children in windowsills during the last 13 nights before Christmas Eve.
Wow.
And every night, one Yuletide lad visits each child, leaving gifts or rotten potatoes, depending on the child's behavior.
Well, to me, a rotten potato is a gift. Fooled you, you fucking idiot.
I love rotten potatoes.
I love them, yeah.
So let's go. We have a list of all 13 Yule lads.
Cool.
And in fact, when I asked Ragnar, I was like, hey, could I get some pronunciation on the Yule lads, on the Jólasveinar? He's like, yeah, we're right in the middle of the 13 days. So in Iceland, they still do the 13 days.
Absolutely. It's basically you believe that the cast from Cheers is harassing you at any given time.
Right. I feel like it needs to be like that movie, The Gods Must Be Crazy, when the person drops the Coke bottle into the African tribe. We need to give them a TV. We need to go to Iceland and just like plug in a flat screen, and everyone would just come to it and watch, and they would learn a lot.
So let's just go. Well, I'm going to say the names of the English translations of the names. The first one, his name is Sheep Coat Clod.
Cool.
He harasses sheep, but is impaired by his stiff peg legs.
You come here, sheep.
The sheep are just like, I don't speak. What are you bothering me for?
There's that peg leg bandit out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, annoying our sheep. I don't know. Do you care?
No.
Meredith, do you care that he's doing that? I don't care.
Then there's Giliagaur, who his name translates to gully gawk. He hides in gullies.
Now, what is the literal definition of a gully?
Yeah, because I'm very confused about the whole gully.
A gully?
What's a gully?
A gully is like a small stream.
Is it like a ravine?
Yeah, it's like it's a small stream and sort of a ravine, but in a shallow ravine. He hides in gullies, waiting for an opportunity to sneak into the cowshed and steal milk.
So he's going to go suck on the cow teat.
Yep.
So there's a farmer who just like opened up his doors one day and was just like, there's someone on the teat. Margaret, someone's on the teat.
Meredith, I can't handle. I got to say, maybe some kind of special school burnout or something, but there's been 5 midgets who've come in here and they've been harassing the sheep and they've been sucking on my cow's tits for at least 2 days. Christmas is in a week.
Yeah, Yule lads.
Giliagur is here. Next up is Stufur. His name translates to Stubby.
Now, Stubby, this is the most sounds like a Disney character.
Yeah. He's abnormally short, and he steals pans to eat the crust left on them.
He steals pans?
That is a homeless man.
That is a poor guy. I'll just give him the pan where there's something in it.
Help him out.
Yeah.
I just like the crust.
All right, then.
Then there's Verjuslikr. His name translates to spoon liquor.
Which sounds like a Soundgarden-like song.
Spoon liquor! It just sounds like they didn't have dishwashers. You know, so they just like, well, you eat the crust, you lick the spoons. Anyone on fork duty?
Yep. He steals wooden spoons to lick and is extremely thin due to malnutrition. Oh. Because all he does is lick spoons. Yeah, I
mean, that's not good.
Then there's Pote Skeffel. His name translates to pot scraper. He steals leftovers from pots.
Yeah. This is just a poorly run kitchen.
Yeah, this is just, this is them leaving their shit out and you're letting the homeless people in.
Not good.
Then there's Askeliker. He's the bowl licker.
Askeliker?
Askeliker.
Askeliker.
Askeliker. Oh, okay. He hides under beds waiting for someone to put down their
asker.
Which is a type of bowl with a lid used instead of dishes, which he then steals.
I've got your bowl.
That's all. That's the only voice I have for them. It's just that.
I've got your bowl. I've got your milk.
It's about right.
I lick your spoon. What will you do? Nothing. I bet. See you soon.
Yeah, you know.
Then there's Hurtescaler, the door slammer. He slams doors, especially during the night.
Also known as a Ben Kissel.
Yeah, why not?
That's just called hammered.
As a matter of fact, I've done all of these things multiple times last night alone.
Then there's the Skier Gamer. He is called the Skier Gobbler. He is a Yule lad with an affinity for Skier, which Skier, yogurt.
Yeah.
Decades-old recipe for yogurt, which is served with milk and sugar.
Let him have it.
That's good, yeah.
You know, I don't want it.
No.
You know,
well, at least this guy's getting a reasonable breakfast, a reasonable lunch.
Everyone it's got a lot of protein, so you got acidophilus in it.
Right, and then it makes your cycle better and makes your stool.
Probiotics.
Probiotics, think about that.
Ooh, this is a rough one. This is the Bugnekekr. His name is the Sausage Swiper. He hides in rafters and snatches sausages while they're being smoked.
It just sounds like a guy. I'd kill him. Don't touch my sausage.
It also sounds like a thing. Him hopping on a blowjob, like right before you're about to get a blowjob, the Sausage Swiper comes and goes like, here I come. Gerda, I thought it was you.
I swear to God.
I'm leaving you, Barry.
That's not right.
Then there's Gliga Gliger. His name is Window Peeper. He's a voyeur who would look through windows in search of things to steal.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, it also probably jerk off at you going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
A bunch.
Then there's Gate Peeper. He's the doorway sniffer. He has an abnormally large nose and an acute sense of smell, which he uses to locate Laufebrot.
What is that?
I think it's a kind of bread.
Sure.
I think it's a kind of bread, like, you know how Native Americans have fry bread?
Sure. No.
Yes.
Native Americans have fry bread, which is one of the staples of their diet.
Is that like a donut?
It's kind of. I think it's kind of like
it's
a
like
donut.
It's like a zeppoli.
It's like fried bread.
Mm. Are they Italian?
They call it fry bread. Come have some of our fry
put
bread.
Some shit.
Fried bread?
It is whatever you want, Magunka. I just got to be at work by 3.
Well, it is comparable to the Icelanders' Laufebrot.
I didn't know they had fried bread.
I got to say, Ironwind. You're fucking boring.
Would you like to know more about the culinary habits
of
the Icelandic people?
No.
For they are an interest of mine.
No, sir. I need to catch the bus.
It's amazing how boring you can make something exciting, you know?
Then there's Kethroker. His name is Meat Hook.
Cool. That's my favorite one.
He uses a hook to steal meat.
Yeah. I got it. Yeah.
It's like fishing, but with...
Your own hook.
And other then, meat.
And it's dead already.
It's just like fishing.
Yeah.
Sort of, yeah.
Then there's Curtis Sneaker. His name is Candle Stealer. He follows children in order to steal their candles, which, in the olden days, were made of tallow and thus edible.
I mean, that still must have been fucking gross.
Yeah, it's made of fat. It's just fat. That's what tallow is, yeah.
That's good. Mm. I'd be the kid licking on the candle. I'd love it.
Candle liquor, candle liquor. Ben's a candle liquor.
Have you tried it, you nerds?
No, let me try. You know what? Surprisingly, that's really good.
It's very good. Very good.
So let's get to the Yule lad's parents. And now we're back to pronunciation from Ragnar. These I know I'm actually pronouncing right.
Okay.
There is a Grilla and Lepaluthe.
Huh.
Yeah. Grilla and Lepaluthe.
It doesn't look like that.
No, it doesn't. Which is why I'm almost positive that I pronounced all the names before completely
wrong. There's like 7
wrong.
Vowels in Lepaluthe.
Yeah. They do it different.
Lepaluthe. Without a doubt, the most hideous ogres that ever existed in Iceland are the Yule lad's parents, particularly Grilla. She has 3 heads, three eyes in each head, horribly long curved fingernails, icy blue eyes at the back of the head, horns like a goat, and her ears dangle down to her shoulders and are attached to the nose in front. She has a beard on her chin that is like knotted yarn on a weave with tangles hanging from it, while her teeth are like burnt rocks in a grate.
Honestly, I would, I'd swipe right. I think she's hot.
You just like, you just like, I think at this point, because you're doing the Tinder thing where you're just swiping right on everybody.
I've never used it, but, you know, I pretend like it's on my phone.
Oh, that is sad. Yes. That really is sad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because but you'd still have sex with that.
With that three-headed, nine-eyed woman.
Yes, goat woman.
Goat woman with the beard. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because it's all about if she's funny or not.
And I guarantee you she's got a great sense of humor.
Oh, she has to. Yeah. And in a verse from the Sturlunga saga, Grilla is described as a monster with 15 tails, and a similar description may be found in a poem from the 16th century. However, that version takes the description further by claiming that each tail contains 100 sacks, and each of those sacks contain 20 children.
There's a lot of math in this. Man. I can't handle all the math. It's just
2,000
like,
children.
That is easy math.
Yeah. Yeah, that's 20 times 100. That's 2,000.
Yeah.
Resident Evil. It reminded me of a Resident Evil villain.
Yeah.
You're always going to be popping the sacks on that goddamn video game. That's disgusting. So the kids are just hanging out like the Matrix in these little sacks on the
screaming their heads off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. According to some sources, Grilla has been married three times. Mm. Her first husband was named Guster, but that marriage did not last since Grilla reportedly ate him.
Long-term relationships are hard.
Well, she
you
ate
know,
him.
It's
really hard. It's tough.
It's hard to keep it to have that spark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She subsequently took a husband by the name of Boli, with whom she had a number of children.
Yeah, Boli was just rocking that cram pussy back and forth, just wham, 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 wham. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Because she had nine cram pussies.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one thing we don't talk about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And her bush hair was made out of snakes.
Oh, I love good snakes, though.
Meanwhile, Grilla's present husband, Lepaluthe, is familiar to most people, and he is generally nearby when Grilla appears. The pair of them are said to have produced 20 children, of which 13 are the popular Yule lads.
I cannot. The seven unpopular Yule lads. God, that's sad.
You're not part of the Yule swainer? Fuck off.
That's sad for those seven kids. You know, they're also probably just gay and trying to be in show business.
So did they date Grilla?
Yeah, you got a quarter.
Did they go out on dates?
I
got a feeling she took him.
Oh, I thought they go to like a Chili's and she's like, I'm Meredith and if you're looking for the spices,
Gotta treat her right. Take her to Chili's.
Well, they're both trolls, so she may be fairly
so their favorite restaurant is definitely Chili's.
Absolutely.
Or Applebee's.
Applebee's alone. I love Chili's.
I hate Chili's so much. There's not a restaurant in the world that I hate more than Chili's.
Baby back ribs.
Well, I almost forgot about it. Mm. You know what I mean? There was a brief second in time which I thought maybe I will never hear that ever again.
Baby back ribs. Loved it.
So even though Grilla is still actively used to frighten children, some sources maintain that she's dead. This information pops up in various popular Christmas songs, and unsurprisingly, not many people mourn Grilla's demise.
Oh, that's rude.
But some of the songs contain provisions that she would come back to life if the number of naughty children increases.
Well, if these kids go on some of these 4chan message boards, I think you're going to see Grilla going to be coming back because of how many hacks are going on. There's some naughtiness happening.
Some naughtiness going down. And go to 4chan while you still can, people. It's going to be shut down soon.
Oh, yeah, man.
You think so?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, yeah. B's not going to be around much longer.
Ah, that's sad.
Yeah. I know.
Maybe X will still live somewhere, but B,
X is
longer.
The quality of X has severely dropped.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, 4chan sucks. So let's go back to Germany. Right. Let's go back to Germany for a man named Hans Trapp.
I love this guy.
Hans Trapp is amazing. He's vain, cunning, heartless, and cruel. And it's said that Trapp worshipped Satan and used black magic and occult rituals to obtain his wealth and hold on to his power when he was still human.
He's Mitt Romney.
I want to hang out with this guy. This is a guy I want to go to Vegas with.
So he's a rich dude with no soul or no social, no moral compass?
Yes.
This is perfect.
Yeah, he's going to be president.
He's like a Saudi king.
So when the Catholic Church became aware of these misdeeds, for this was back in olden times when the Catholic Church still had the power to bring people to court, Hans Trapp was arrested and brought before the Pope in Rome.
And those priests are just being like, okay, Mr. Trapp, we just got, can you put the handcuffs on yourself? Because I'm not really, you know, I have sex with boys. I can't just be wrestling a full-grown man.
Mm-hmm. So for his satanic deeds, Trapp was excommunicated from the church for the crime of sacrilege, and was subsequently stripped of his land and money and was exiled into the nearby mountains of Bavaria, where he built himself a makeshift shack made from sticks.
Ooh, it's like the Unabomber.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of fun.
Oh, yeah. But more because, fun.
Yeah.
Because you know he had, like, cologne on.
Mm. Yeah, Unabomber did not wear cologne. And maybe rabbit shit that he would grind up in a little, whatever, muddler. Yeah.
Gotta go to town. Better be smelling dapper.
So his anger and resentment was intensified, and he became even more deeply devoted to Satanism. He roamed the countryside and disguised himself as a scarecrow by stuffing his ragged clothes with straw.
Fuck yeah.
And then I just kind of stand there like this. And that's all I do.
I gotta tell you one thing about the outfit. It certainly scares the crap out of birds.
Yeah, I haven't scared anybody yet, but nonetheless.
Well, one day he did scare a child. He spotted a young shepherd boy making his way through the woods.
And there do I go. All I have is this stick of chocolate.
Hey, kid, I'm a talking scarecrow.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Do you have any sausages?
Yes, I have some sausages. Ooh. Just come closer. I will take them.
I will come. Oh, no. Why did they put the hook on the back of my leisure horse? I am so easy to lift. I am so easy to steal.
The boy was only 10, but Hans Trapp was determined to kill and eat him. As he stared at the young boy, he began to drool at the mouth, imagining biting into his delicious and tender flesh.
I haven't had lunch yet, so I am also hungry.
I know. I'm a little bit hungry, too.
And before the boy knew what was happening, Hans Trapp pounced, attacking him viciously and running him through with a sharpened stick. Then he dragged the dying child back to his shack, where he cut the boy into small pieces and roasted them over an open fire. And when his monstrous meal was ready, Hans Trapp licked his lips and prepared to taste human flesh for the first time.
So good. Oh, this is
And then he flipped a switch and the sign said open outside, and he said, this is the first Chili's ever, and he put up a sign and people came in and they had great appetizers for $4.99.
Oof, Hans, I love your mixture of the Texan culture and the Mexican culture.
Yes, it's a child you're eating.
No!
However, before a morsel could enter his mouth, a bolt of lightning came from the sky and struck him dead. And as the story goes, God would not allow the abomination to continue and decided to end the crimes of Hans Trapp once and for all.
Okay, I'd like to see this. This is the thing, too. It's that, all right, one kid almost gets eaten by a guy and God decided to stop him. God made AIDS.
Yeah,
sure.
But God also waited until the boy was murdered and cut into pieces and cooked before stopping.
That's the same thing going back to the pickled guy. This guy waits until he's all chopped up and pickled these kids before he brings them back.
Yeah, but St. Nicholas is actually better than God.
Where was
because
God?
Because St. Nicholas resurrected the children while God just shoved a lightning bolt in Hans Trapp's ass.
Also, they were straight up fucking real priests that knew what was going on here. They knew that you got to keep an eye on Hans Trapp.
Yeah.
And what were they doing? They're two buddies getting their fucking nickels fucking fondled by a bunch of castrados.
Yeah,
flicking little beans. Well, I'm sure they noticed when their 9 o'clock blowjob appointment didn't show up that day when the 10-year-old boy was kidnapped and
murdered. Where's Sven? Where's my favorite sucker, Sven?
Yeah.
And since that time, Hans Trapp has remained a terrifying legend. For every Christmas, he goes from house to house, clad in his scarecrow disguise, scaring the life out of small children and drooling greedily over their tender flesh.
Mm.
Wow. I love that story.
I miss being a kid.
Yeah, because you'd be scared by this kind of stuff.
Well, I used to be scared, but then I would be like, no, they want it. they all, I know all you guys want it. But now no one treats me like that anymore.
And finally... Frau Perchta will rip out your internal organs and replace them with garbage.
Also known as Burger King. And that's it.
That's all Frau Perchta.
So that's all our Christmas monsters.
Wow, man.
This week.
Dare I say, Macy's, Walmart, all this capitalism, they ruined the tradition of Christmas. That was such a more fun experience for the kids.
It really was.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now everyone's just like, I'm going to be naughty and I'm still going to get my PS4. I'm still going to get my flat screen. I'm still going to get my apps.
Yeah. Now there used to be fucking, there were sticks. yeah. in Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm not letting my
In
kid.
Iceland, that's why Iceland's cool, because there's still stakes.
Mm-hmm.
Because they still tell people, in all seriousness, if you don't get new clothes and take a bath, if you're not good, the Yule Cat's going to come eat you.
But exactly. I think really the responsibility...
It's going to sit on your laptop while you're trying to write your screenplay.
Right.
And what are you going to do?
Exactly. The responsibility there is on the parents, though. If you're a parent, it's got to be kind of stressful because, you know, you got to get your kids some new clothes. Otherwise, they're going to be gone.
Because also, never mind the costume budget of being a parent in those days, because how many times you got to dress up as Krampus, dress up as Hans Trapp?
No. As we talked about earlier, there were dudes that hung out in the village, Krampus for hire.
You know, these guys... That's what a bunch of perverts.
Hell of a life, though. Hell of a life.
So do
we
want to go out on the one Christmas sweet moment I will allow us to do?
Let's do it.
Now, there's a beloved character that I just want to do because I feel like he's got a good connection to this fucking bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And he just wants everyone to have a very Merry Christmas.
The man is full of buttery goodness, and he has nothing but sweetness in his heart. All right, everyone, now it's time for Last Podcast on the Left presents Detective Popcorn singing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
I hope everybody's got a little piece of me all wrapped around your tree. So delectable. Difficult to resist. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. I hope you do. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, our troubles, they'll be miles away, because you'll be too busy crunching all my sweet insides. Just make sure you get some water, because the kernels are sticking your throat. It's hard to eat popcorn if you want to do it fast. Let the Yuletide be gay. Santa once invited me up to the North Pole, you know. I guess Santa was having so much of this bourbon soap eggnog, and he was sitting there, his eyes all sunken back in his head, heaving himself. And he kept saying, come closer, Detective Popcorn. And I was like, why, Santa, why? He's like, I want to fiddle with you.
Kind of a very
faithful friends, who are near to us, shall be dear to us once more. And the Mrs. Claus came in the room, and she's like, what are you doing, Santa? You're not supposed to be drinking. You're supposed to be delivering presents.
Mm-hmm.
And Santa was like, you get out of here before I end your life.
Oh.
Fat woman, not the woman I married. Oh. And I was like, Santa, why don't you just chow down on some of my delicious kernels here and get yourself right? And he did. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Merry Christmas, Last Podcast on the Left. Hope you don't get any butter stains on your Christmas jeans.
Wow, Detective Popcorn, everybody. A rare appearance. What a beautiful performance that was.
A beautiful performance. I think everyone's going to take that in their hearts, and they're going to take it with them through the rest of the holiday
season. I think
season.
So, too.
I started off today's episode not in this Christmas spirit. My heart was hard, and now my heart is slightly less hard.
Yes.
Because of that. Beautiful. I almost got the spirit.
Almost.
I'm
in it, man.
Right back to death.
Right back, yeah. That's great. All right, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
And
fuck Christmas.
Yep.
And don't forget to go, if you're a UK listener, or fuck, if you're in Europe anywhere, the UK tour is coming up in March. Go to gigsandtours.com to buy your tickets. Buy your tickets as early as possible. Just fucking go in and just buy them. Buy them right now.
Yeah, because we've been selling them.
Yeah, we've been selling a lot of tickets. So go in and get your tickets as early as possible, because I'm guessing they're probably going to sell out. So go in and fucking get them. And you can also get a Last Podcast on the Left t-shirt at Last Podcast on the Left, or at cavecomedyradio.com/lastpodcastontheleft.
And the one nice thing about Christmas, obviously, it just means the year is about to end. I just want to thank everyone for such an amazing year. You know,
this
Cave
has been
Comedy
great.
Radio and Last Podcast and all the shows, but especially Last Podcast, have grown so much, and we just really appreciate everyone just being so awesome.
We have the best fans. It's so nice that people listen to the show.
Oh, yeah.
We keep listening. Listen to the other shows on Cave Comedy Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Yep. Thank you, guys. Hail Satan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hail Satan, everybody.
Hail me, if you would, in your private time.
We'll give you a... We'll talk to you soon. And, yeah. Oh, wait. I do want to give a small shout out to Justin, who had got a free scoop of ice cream in San Francisco from a fellow Last Podcast on the Left listener who was wearing a Last Podcast on the Left t-shirt.
Wear the shirt. You'll be surprised who you meet.
Yeah.
Because people have the shirt.
And I guarantee you, whoever you meet, they're going to be working in the food business. So we're talking hot dogs, hamburgers, ice cream scoops, falafel, gyros, or gyros, if you want to call them that.
And post which Yule ad you are.
Yeah. Post which Yule lad you are. I'm guessing we're going to get a lot of spoon lickers.
I want to be the sausage one. But everyone's like, he's the window peeper. And I'm like, all right, fine, I'll be a window peeper.
Yep. And go to iTunes. If you want to give us a Christmas present, go to iTunes and rate and review us.
And all the shows, man. That helps out so much. If we can get everything that we do up there on that list, it's just really badass.
So happy holidays, you fuckers.
That's right. And to all of our Jewish listeners, happy...
Don't do anything. Have a good time.
Have a great time.
Yeah, pressure's off. It's great for you.
Heil Gein if you're Jewish.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, anyone can.
Yeah.
For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to cavecomedyradio.com.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.